Good morning, everyone. It's great to be back and to see all of your smiling and attentive faces this morning. One note before we begin with the worship service order today, and that concerns these two yellow sheets. Some of you I know have seen them or received them. Please pick one up on your way out. They're at all the entrances. It is the financial plan for ministry, also known as a budget, which will be among the agenda items considered at the congregational meeting tomorrow evening at 7 here. So just wanted to bring that to your attention. The service orders before us on the purple sheet under the title of Gifted. And this is, as many of you know and will notice, the most historic of the worship service orders we use here at St. Mark's. But I want to have a special word. First of all, word of welcome. I know we have several guests here this morning. Just to let you know that when you see a musical note in the service order or a number sign, that refers to Lutheran service book, which is in front of you. All of the music for the service is printed there, the musical notes. We're going to begin with hymn number 644. Please stand. Church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he and for her life he died. Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth, her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth, one holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses with every grace endued. Though with a scornful wonder the world sees her oppressed, by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed, yet saints their watch are keeping, their cry goes up how long, and soon the night of weeping shall be the morn of song. Through toil and tribulation and tumult of her war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore, till with the vision glorious her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest. Yet she on earth has union with God the three in one, and mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is won. Oh, blessed heavenly chorus, Lord, save us by your grace, that we like saints before us may see you face to face.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that we may proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Gathering as your chosen people, O God, we bring with us the sins that wage war with our souls. We take this time to confess our sins to him who has delivered our souls from death, and we seek his forgiveness through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we are surely sinful from birth, and we struggle with change, even as a people changed by you from death to life. Our struggle is revealed as we fall into patterns of living, speaking, and thinking that are not in line with being the people you have called us to be. You have set us free through your perfect life, death, and resurrection. Yet we continue to live like people who are enslaved to the enemy. Lord Jesus, forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness for your name's sake. Amen. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Alleluia. Amen. For you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? For you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world,
receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord. Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father.
Almighty God, our refuge, our fortress, our God in whom we trust, hear our prayers this day. As you have done for your people throughout the centuries, defend us from persecution. Stand with us in our struggles. Give us strength to stand firm in the face of fear and uncertainty, and raise us up with your mighty right hand. Lead us by your Spirit in these last days as we bring your name to bear in all circumstances and as we live our lives as your chosen people. For you live and reign as one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Alleluia. Amen.
The Old Testament reading comes from Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 7 through 13. O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed.
I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me.
For whenever I speak, I cry out. I shout violence and destruction.
All day long.
If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart as it were a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot.
For I hear many whispering, terror is on every side. Denounce him, let us denounce him, say all my close friends, watching for my fall.
Perhaps he will be deceived. Then we can overcome him and take our revenge on him.
But the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten.
O Lord of hosts, who tests the righteous, who sees the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you have I committed my cause.
Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of evildoers.
This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised.
And his greatness is unsearchable.
On your wondrous works I will meditate.
And I will declare your greatness.
The epistle comes from Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 23. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace.
What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace?
By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, who were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed?
Those things.
But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life.
For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be
to God. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly, I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ. Have no fear, little flock, have no fear, little flock, for the Father has chosen to give you the kingdom. Have no fear, little flock, have good cheer, little flock, have good cheer, little flock, for the Father keep you in his love forever. Have good cheer, little flock. Praise the Lord high above, praise the Lord high above, for he stoops down to heal you, uplift and restore you. Praise the Lord high above. Thankful hearts race to God, thankful hearts race to God, for he stays close beside you in all things. hearts with you, thankful hearts, praise to God.
I have some good news and good chews, also known as candy, for any of the children who want to come up and receive it. Now's the time. And yes, it's okay if you want someone older to come up with you. But I'll try to be nice so you don't have to be afraid of me. After all, I have candy. How bad can that be, right? And I was wondering if anybody here could guess how many pieces of candy are in this jar. Can you guess? You see a Tootsie Roll? Yeah, there's several Tootsie Rolls in there. How, anybody think they know? No? That would be hard to know. Do you think God knows how many pieces of candy are in this jar? Nobody's going to guess. Nobody even wants to try to guess to get the whole thing. You're not even going to guess? At least somebody has to guess. Guess, Chloe. 100. 100? Nope, wrong. It's hard to guess, isn't it? So I'll give you another question, and if you get that right, I'll give you the whole jar of candy, okay? I hope nobody Googled it. How many hairs are on your head? Do you know? I know, because I Googled it. The average human hair has 150, human head has 150,000 follicles of hair. That's a lot, isn't it? Well, why am I talking about hair and candy? Because the word of God we just heard said, Jesus knows how many hairs are on your head. What does that mean to you? Jesus knows that. That seems like something kind of silly for him to know. What do you think he's trying to tell us? If he knows how much hair is on our head, and that's not really that important, I think it's trying to tell us that he cares for us so much that he knows everything about us. And what's the most important thing he knows about us? That we need his help, right? We can't guess how many pieces of candy are in here. We can't know, except for now you know, how many hairs of head you have. You probably don't all have exactly 150,000, right? And what's the most important thing that he knows that he knows we need to know? That he loves us no matter what. He proved that when he died on the cross for our sins, and he rose from the grave the third day. And what's he doing now? Counting candy in the candy jars and your hair heads. No. He's to God. He said, get ready. Here come all the kids to heaven, and it's going to be a glorious time because we'll know everything then, right? Okay, I'm going to give you all a piece of candy. Actually, I want to give you 3 pieces of candy. Can you guess why? One for the Father who made you, one for the Son who saved you, and one for the Spirit who's in your heart to help you believe that. Thanks for coming up. Take and eat. Oh, I have some leftovers. The jar wasn't big enough for all of them. And don't tell Julie I gave away her dark chocolate mints. Actually, she doesn't even know I bought them for her yet. And anybody else who wants to have some candy can come up after worship if you wish. Because I... In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, alleluia. Amen. The first part of the sermon has only 8 words, so listen up. Everybody ready? I didn't forget the words. If you are saved, then you will be damned. So far, part 1. Part 2 of the sermon has 8 words. Although you be damned, you are saved. Wouldn't it be nice if sermons only had two parts? They have three. You've heard of the gospel in a nutshell, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That's called the gospel in a nutshell. The two parts of the sermons were kind of gospel in the nutshell. Now the nut will give you part three. When I talked about being damned, that's really what the gospel lesson theme is. If you are in Christ, you are going to be persecuted. We don't have that problem as much as so many people in the world. I'll get to that in a minute, but there is hate around. I went to a wedding last weekend in Houston, and it was a Catholic family getting married, a Catholic girl getting married to a Lutheran boy. And we didn't have any out-and-out fights, but you don't even have to go outside of the church to get that kind of persecution sometimes. Look at Jesus, who persecuted him, the very church itself. So the gospel lesson talks about the fact that we are going to be hated. And since that's a pretty big, deep subject for Sunday morning or any morning, I came up with a couple funnies that make it seem a little lighter. Every time I think about hate, I think of the great preacher Lucy Van Pelt of Peanuts or Charlie Brown fame. And one day she was in a bad mood. I think she's in a bad mood most days. And this is what she said. I hate everything. I hate everybody. I hate the whole world. And Charlie Brown said, I thought you said you had inner peace. And she said, I do have inner peace, but I also have outward obnoxiousness. Don't we all? All of us have hate in our hearts, right? It's a result of sin. There's another kind of funny story about a preacher who was preaching against hatred, and he asked all of those who had overcome the sin of hatred to stand up. And of course, for a little bit, not surprisingly, no one stood up. And then lo and behold, a man stood up, one man in the whole congregation. And the preacher was kind of surprised, and so he asked him how it was that he got rid of hatred. And this is what the man said. All the skunks who done me dirt, all them scoundrels I hated, they're all dead. But even so, you know, you're carrying hatred, and so am I, and disappointment, and other things about people who may be dead, right? It's hard to get rid of hate. And especially when we think we're doing the right thing, like living for God, and people don't like that. I found this quote. It's a little deeper. Human hate is a deadly blight that does worse damage to the hater than to the hated. Its cure is found in the love of Christ. When that love comes in, hate goes out. They cannot keep house together. And that's one of the spiritual disciplines I've been telling myself when people don't do what God wants them to do or what I want them to do. Not that I'm pure innocent in that either. I say, Kelly, love them. Don't be mad at them because they don't do that, even though they know they should be and I know they should be and I don't do things that I know I should be doing. It might not change them, but it sure changes me. My outer obnoxiousness is kind of sort of in check. Like I say, we don't suffer much persecution just because we're Christians. After all, in some countries, you could not even be doing what we're doing here today without being a little afraid that something might happen to you. I ran across an organization called Open Doors. Has anybody heard about it? Have you ever heard about Open Doors? I hadn't heard about them before. And their only purpose is to serve Christians who are persecuted throughout the world. And I came across some statistics. Every month, guess how many Christians across the world are killed just for being Christians? Anybody want to take a guess for a dark chocolate York patty? 322. I was surprised it was that low. Every month, 214 Christian churches and properties are destroyed. We're seeing that more in America, aren't we? Churches being burned. And every month, 772 forms of violence are committed against Christians. For example, beatings, abductions, rapes, arrests, and even forced marriages. I found another statistic that said, according to the Pew Research Center, over 75% of the world's population lives in areas with severe religious restrictions. We're blessed. Next weekend, when we celebrate our nation's independence, the main theme will be freedom, right? And not just freedom to do whatever we want, but freedom to worship God. We take that for granted, don't we? According to the United States Department of State, Christians in more than 60 countries face persecution from their governments or surrounding neighbors simply because of their belief in Jesus Christ. So although we aren't persecuted that much here in America, first of all, we're thanking God that that's true. And secondly, let's pray for all those people who every day have to worry that just because they're a Christian, something bad might happen to them. And even if it did or does, and even if it would happen to us, we have the answer, don't we, that will make it okay even though we lose everything. You know it from the hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Goods, fame, child, and wife, though these all be gone, they yet have nothing won. Anybody remember the last words? You're supposed to know that hymn. It's a familiar one. The kingdom ours remaineth. Gertrude got the last word. Charlotte. Gertrude, I just gave you a new name. And I found a poem by the man by the name of Henry F. Light that kind of says this in a more majestic way. Let the world despise and leave me, they have left my Savior too. Human hearts and looks deceive me, thou art not like man untrue. And while thou shalt smile upon me, God of wisdom, love, and might, foes may hate and friends may shun me, show thy face and all is bright. It might be difficult for so many to acknowledge God when they know that they're going to suffer loss for it. Again, we praise God that that's not true for us, but I don't know about you, and especially lately, I've been saying, why do anything good? Why follow God? Look what happens sometimes. And as the text said, it's from our own house, not from people of the world, but the church. We sang that song, that familiar hymn, "No Thanks Necessary." Men see her sore oppressed, the church, by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed. So I like that this text reminds us it's not Christians and the church that we're confessing, it's God. The only one who will remain true and faithful to us the rest of our lives. Look at the person next to me and say, don't be next to you and say, don't. Push comes to shove, the only person who's going to remain totally faithful to us, you know it's right. You sin in thought, word, and deed is, and that's who we confess. So when we look at this text, I don't know if anybody got scared. You probably did. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Everyone in this room, including this person, is thinking, wow, I might have done that kind of, sort of, and sometimes, but does that characterize my life? It reminds me of my Baptist pastor friend, Steve, who always tried to scare people into heaven and said, what are you going to say when you're standing before God at heaven's gate, and he says, "Did you make disciples of all nations?" And I told him, I said, "He's not going to ask that any questions, Steve. He's not Baptist." No. He knows what's in our hearts. And even though not one person here does the best that we can in confessing him before each other and the world, everything's all right with our world because God knows what's in our hearts. It's not too hard for me to convince myself to say, "Oh yeah, you haven't been doing that," because I know I haven't either. And that's why I want to close with one of my favorite poems of all time. It got me into trouble once, but not with God. I'm not praying to Judas, by the way. "Judas, why did you do it? Condemn God's only son. 30 pieces of silver isn't much. I would condemn you, but I've done it too. A look, a laugh, a whisper. Betrayed you for less, O Lord. Thank you for dying for my betrayal and betrayals and realizing that glory, giving me the power and strength to go on, even though those in my own family and in our own family, we do it too, persecute one another. You've died for all of that. And so we go forth with joy. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Alleluia. Amen."
Create in me, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free Spirit. Amen.
Almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks and praise for being a just and forgiving God. We praise you for being our refuge, our fortress, and our God in whom we trust. Heavenly Father, we thank you for hearing our prayers this day and every day. We pray for brothers and sisters who are struggling in body, mind, and spirit, and ask for your strength, comfort, and healing. Lord Jesus, you united us in a common faith and family at our baptism. Lead and guide us into living out our baptismal faith as missionaries in this world, so that the people we connect with may hear your word. O Holy Spirit, you work in many unseen and mysterious ways. As we look around our world, we see destruction and violence. We ask that you bring peace and wholeness. We ask for you to give your wisdom to all the leaders of our world, our nation, our state, and our community, so that they may govern justly.
In our special prayers this day, first of all, we remember Paul and Janet Wicker and their family who mourned the death of Paul's brother-in-law. Let us pray. Thank you, O Lord, for the gift of life, and especially for our brother in the faith who now knows eternal life. This past year and a half has been a literal hell for him, and so the family celebrates the end of that and is comforted by knowing that now he receives in full what he has always longed for, the kingdom of heaven. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Also this day, we are praying for the following who are sick and suffering. First of all, Beulah Weaver, who is hospitalized at Memorial in Chester. I visited her yesterday, and I wish I could share her smiles with you. Well, I can. I can smile. So we're celebrating that. Her spirit's still in great shape. We're also praying for Willard Canope, who had a procedure yesterday down in Heron, and thankfully is home and free of some pain that's been bothering him for a long time. And then thirdly, this morning, we're remembering especially David Getting, who is scheduled for surgery this Friday. Let us pray. O great physician, we thank you for your promise to give us health and healing in this life according to your goodness and mercy, and ultimately the health and healing that comes only through knowing your forgiveness through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you that Beulah and Willard and David know that and ask out of your goodness and mercy you would heal them. Most of all, remind them of your love for them no matter what and forever. Lord, in your mercy. We're celebrating this day with Randy and Deb Caby, who have been gifted with twin grandchildren, a boy, Henry Allen, and a girl, Lillian Viola. They weren't due till August, so they're in the NIU nursery at Mercy Hospital in St. Louis, but everybody's doing well, and the only issues are growth and development, so they're in a good place. We're celebrating that. Let us pray. Thank you, O Lord, especially as we have prayed about a death, that you follow that up with new life, both for Lillian and for Henry, and you have brought Brittany safely through a scary and painful pregnancy and given Scott the strength to be a support in this time. And so we thank you for giving them this great gift and look forward to the even greater gift of holy baptism. Lord, in your mercy.
One of our members, a farmer, called me this week and he said, "Pastor, I'm asking you to thank God for rain." And those of us who aren't farmers might not have thought about it, but I was so touched that he said, just like the parable in the story of the 10 lepers, only one came back to thank him. I'm that person. It reminds me of another farmer who a few months ago said, "Pastor, I have all of God's corn planted in the field now." Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for faithful farmers. Thanking you for rain and crops and all other things. Their faith is perhaps tested more than the rest of ours. They rely on the weather and ground and all those things we non-farmers take for granted. So I thank you for strengthening my faith through these two farmers and pray that you would continue to keep them strong and make them realize what they already know more and more, that everything's going to come out okay, because you are the Lord of the harvest. Lord, in your mercy. And finally, we're praying for our congregation as we meet tomorrow evening. Thank you, Lord, for all of the many blessings you keep bestowing upon St. Mark's Lutheran Church and School. We ask your forgiveness when sometimes we focus more on the challenges and the things we consider not blessing, when we know that they serve to humble us and to make us more dependent upon you. And ultimately, to remember that no matter what happens with church or school, your kingdom remaineth. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy and grace. Alleluia. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. We do give you thanks and praise, our refuge, our fortress, and our God in whom we trust. We ask that you continue to strengthen us as we stand in the face of temptation and persecution.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Jesus shall reign where the sun does its successive journeys run. His kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. To him shall endless prayer be made, and endless praises crown his head. His name like sweet perfume shall rise with every morning sacrifice. People and realms of every tongue dwell on his love with sweetest song, and infant voices shall proclaim their early blessings on his name. Blessings abound where'er he reigns. The prisoners sleep unloose their chains. The weary find eternal rest, and all who suffer want are blessed. Let every creature rise and bring honors peculiar to our King. Angels descend with songs again, and earth repeat the loud Amen.
Yes, sir.
Oh.